crazy country, Telstra MobileNet Digital presents Martin Molloy with Mick Molloy and Tony Martin.
And today we're going to get to the bottom of that redback spider terror that's sweeping Japan. We've got a fantastic new cultural event on the show which features some of Australia's top FM traffic reporters at their very best. Mick's got the safety gloves on as he trawls through the galaxy of stars, and on the Brown event, it's time for another salute to the king, not before time. On Radio Gladiators, we once again want to hear you as somebody from The Simpsons, and joining us live for a bit of a cuppa and a bit of a chat, it's Wendy Harmer. Yes, it's all coming up on Martin Molloy, the program that makes James Brown say... Cheryl Crow, all I want to do is have some fun here at Martin Molloy. It's that time of the day, people. Mm. We're back on board. It's myself, Tony Martin, and this bloke here, a man who today went to lunch with Joan Collins, and, well, I don't want to preempt his announcement, but let's just say the chemistry was right. And next year I may be co-hosting this program with the new Mr. Alexis, Mick Molloy.
It could happen.
There was a showdown, oh, the super bitches.
Was it?
The claws were out. Okay, well, there'll be time for show business later, but we've got to get to the big story today, and that's the redback terror in Japan. You may have heard about this. Australia has been blamed for spider fever, which is gripping Japan, as teams of exterminators were sent out to track and kill a plague of redback spiders on the loose. More than 1,000 redbacks, native to Australia and India, but never really seen before by the what's described in the paper as the arachnophobic Japanese, mm-hmm. have been caught in the past few days. So they're everywhere, and we're copping the blame. And here's just a little interesting bit of information at the end of the article. The Japanese have a major advantage over Australians in avoiding a painful bite. Traditional Japanese squat toilets have no seat. That's more information than I needed to know about the redback pride.
And you're safe. And you're safe. Did they go straight to Japan or did they stop off in Bali on the way? Because, you know, most of them do.
Well, it doesn't say how they got over there. I'm thinking perhaps a bit sort of Max Cady, Cape Fear style. Just clanging on, you know, the plane there.
I saw a group of them arsing around on the Fairstar. So who knows what they're up to.
Chuck us over the phone, Mickey. I think it's time we go right to the top on this one. Let's call the Japanese embassy and see if they've got any information maybe we should call Telstra.
Well, you've got hands, Tone. Why don't you get it sometime? No, it's always Mick, get us the phone.
Well,
what am I, your dirty little phone getter?
It's a tradition here on the program. And let's see if we can find out about the redback plague and perhaps about the toilets.
Goody.
I think we owe it to our listeners. Mm.
Get your pens and papers out, people.
Here we go. Okay.
Afternoon, Embassy of Japan.
Hello, could you put us through to your press office, please?
One moment.
Now, this is what they need to play. Mm. You know, out of the exterminator's van. Get rid of the redbacks.
Roger Farrell, he's the economist at the embassy. Just 1 minute.
Thanks. Yep. You'll tell us how much the spider's worth on the Dow Jones. So the redback's fallen.
Well, they're attacking the stock exchange floor, are they? The greenback currently trading at 20 grand. The redback.
Hello.
Hello, is that the economist at the Japanese embassy?
No, it isn't.
Who is that?
This is political section.
Oh, political. What's your name?
Jacqueline.
Hello, Jacqueline. This is Tony Martin and Mick Molloy calling from the Martin Molloy radio program. And we're trying to get to the bottom of this redback terror that's apparently sweeping Japan. Have you heard about it?
Yes.
Now, could you put us on to somebody from Japan, please?
Just a moment.
Thank you.
Oh, we're on to the B-side now, Mickey.
Those Super Mario Brothers would have a stitch by now.
Are you there?
Yes. Yeah.
I'm going to put you through to one of our favourite Japanese associates, and his name's Mr. Kono. Just a moment.
Oh, yes, thank please. You.
Okay. Hello, this is Kono speaking.
Hello, Mr. Kono. Listen, this is Tony Martin and Mick Molloy calling, and we're trying to get to the bottom of this redback terror in Japan. Have you heard about it?
redback terror.
Yeah, the redback spiders. Apparently,
they're yes, I've heard about it.
We're reading in the paper that apparently, you know, the Japanese people are fairly arachnophobic. They don't like spiders. Is that the case?
Not really. You know, we don't have any feeling towards the spider itself. But, you know, if it's poisonous, you know, it's a different problem. That's right. My understanding.
Right. Now, obviously, the redback, the main way it attacks you, well, at least down in Australia, is it hides under the toilet seat. Now, is that a problem in Japan? You don't have toilet seats, do you?
We have some.
Yeah, they're just loaned out on special occasions.
Probably I'm not the right person to answer that question because I've been away from Japan for a long time.
Oh.
So I don't know the current situation, actually.
Okay, so in Japan, you know, married couples, rather than arguing about who left the toilet seat up or down, they're just going, who nicked the toilet seat? Are they behaving? Have you heard if they're behaving themselves? Because, you know, they represent our country, and the last thing I want to hear is any of those ugly Australian abroad stories.
Will they be holding clinics in Japan, you know, telling people how to deal with the redback? Will there be, say, a rolled-up newspaper class where they'll just get everybody into a room and say, here's the technique, if you see the redback, you go them with the paper?
No, I'm not quite sure because, as you know it quite well, I don't live in Japan at the moment, so... I can't imagine what they are dealing with that.
Couldn't you guys just call in Godzilla? Is he still available?
Who's he?
Godzilla. Big bloke, green, breathes fire. I've seen him in films.
Godzilla?
Yeah, Godzilla. He's been in heaps of Japanese films. He's a big dragon kind of bloke.
Had a ding-dong battle with King Kong.
You've been away from Japan for a long time, haven't you, Mr. Kono, if you haven't heard of Godzilla?
I can't catch that word.
Okay.
Could you spell it out for me?
Actually, I think it's G-O-J-I-R-A.
Okay, I'll write it down.
In Japan?
Oh, G-O what?
G-O-J-I-R-A. I think that's how they spell it.
Godzilla.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. Now you're packing, aren't you? You recognise him now.
No, but, you know, it doesn't exist, actually.
Oh, so we've been led a merry dance, haven't we? I was told those films are documentaries.
Next he'll be telling us King Kong's not real.
Okay, well, thanks for your time today.
Okay.
And keep the toilet seats up there at the embassy. Okay, bye-bye.
Oh, bye-bye.
That's Coolio, who, by all accounts, has been spending a fair bit of time in the old gangster's paradise.
Apparently, yes. That's where he currently resides.
He sure does. It's, gangster's paradise, population Coolio,
as it stands.
And this is Martin Molloy, the program where two blokes talk through their hats for a couple of hours.
Oh, yeah.
As I think you heard in that illuminating discussion with Mr. Kono from the Japanese embassy.
We should be on that thinkers panel of Paul Keating, shouldn't we? We're coming up with the good ideas.
They'll be calling us. You just keep an eye on the phone, Mickey.
Oh, do I have to pass it again?
Oh, no. We won't have any more slapstick on the show today. Now, I can see you chomping at the bit. Would it be fair to say it's time for a visit
to the galaxy of stars? Thanks, Tone. Let's kick off with an old favourite of ours. We haven't mentioned him much lately. Actor Oliver Reed.
Oh.
Yes, Holly. He's tipped to play the lead role in Scotland's latest contribution to the movie world. It's a film called Sawny Bean, and it's about the grisly true-life story of a clan of cave-dwelling cannibals who terrorised the Scottish coast in the 1800s. Sawny and his clan are thought to have waylaid, murdered and eaten as many as 3,000 people. That's a bit of a pig out, isn't it? Should make for some interesting dialogue. Hey, Sawny! Bet you can't eat just one. The whole thing will have to be set at an 18th century sizzler so they can take advantage of the all-you-can-eat policy. But could it be worth a... Could be worth a look, in my opinion, Tyne, this Sawny Bean. Do you think Oliver Reed is the right choice, though? I mean, you know, if Sawny Bean was an 18th century Scottish figure who terrorised the coastline after chugging down 3,000 Scotch and sodas, maybe better. I don't know. He wasn't their first pick. Did you know that?
No.
I believe they were originally after Rowan Atkinson. So then they could have called it Mr. Bean. That'd be an hilarious half hour of comedy, wouldn't it? Oh, do you watch Mr. Bean last night? Yes, that delightful Rowan Atkinson chowing down on, well, by my reckoning, 100 human bods per minute. I want to see it myself. Imagine getting on an aircraft and going, great, they're showing a Mr. Bean, and then copping an eyeful of that. It'd probably make you a little bit sick at first until you saw what was on your plate. Then you'd be buzzing the hostie going, I'll have what Sawney's having. And while we're talking things that can put you off your food, I've got some Anna Nicole Smith news as well, Tone.
Oh, happy, yes.
She's checked herself in. A nice little segue, that, wasn't it? She's checked herself into the Betty Ford Clinic in California.
Right.
She asked to be checked in under an assumed name, and just for joke, the woman behind the counter said, sure, how about Mrs. Smith? And she bought it. And anyway, she was barely recognisable as she was seen being pushed through the clinic's grounds in a wheelchair.
Is that right?
Yeah, doctors say the actress may have permanent brain damage and could need months of treatment. They didn't run any tests. They just looked at some photos of the bloke she married and thought, yep, she's a Fruit Loop. But, Tana, I can see through her. Yeah. I can see through Anna, even if those doctors can't. She's a little grave digger who doesn't know when to stop. It's not enough. She's got half his money. Now she's got his wheelchair. She doesn't stop, does she? She'll get the house next too because, you know, she'll need the ramps. I wonder how she's settling in, though, because, I mean, that's Liz Taylor's turf, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, that's her gig, cruising around the Betty Ford compound in a wheelchair. And, you know, at Betty Ford, Liz is top dog. And Anna better realise that or, you know, one day she'll go for a spin only to find her brake cables cut. Know what I mean? No, it could happen. Imagine seeing Liz and Anna wheeling around together in a convoy. There's a couple of heavy vehicles. You'd get out of the way, wouldn't you? Look out! Here they come! How many wheelchairs do they have in that compound? Last count. Have you seen? I saw some footage the other day. I thought they're holding the Special Olympics there. I imagine if they had a bingle. You need a big Maori bloke to jump on the black of one of the chairs shouting, wheel to the right! Wheel to the right! Everlasting love. That's you two here on Martin Molloy. And in the next hour, I just should remind you that the Brown event is coming up. And today, it's another salute to Elvis. And we love having salutes to the king here on the program. Why? Yep. I think it's really just because he's been so good to comedy over the years that it's our way of paying him back.
Absolutely.
And also, we're going to have Wendy Harmer. She's going to be with us on the guest segment in the next hour. I think there's a book involved. I think she's got some kind of book out.
Mm.
That'd be like her, wouldn't it?
Not an album.
It's a book. It's a book, and I'm not sure if it's brown, but it's in the shops. Now, she'll tell us about that in the next hour. Also, Radio Gladiators coming up, and I should just point out, I don't think we've talked about this on the program yet, Mickey, but this is the final week of Martin Molloy for 1995. It's all drawing to a close. This Friday, that's right, we get let out of school. But I'll tell you what, it's the final show Friday. But listen to this. We're back Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, sitting here doing something we are calling at this stage the Martin Molloy Summer Edition. What is that, Mickey?
Well, basically, instead of, you know, spending all day bashing our brains out trying to come up with new crap ideas, we play some old crap ideas.
So will there be much difference from the normal program?
Yeah, well, you get to, you know, you can... People from can ring in and ask for stuff. We'll play some stuff that's not on the Brown album that's actually, you know, stuff we can't put on that for legal reasons. And some other gear, so it'll be a chance to maybe kick back and reminisce with us as we drink in some of the delightful offerings over the year.
Now, that's next week, the summer edition, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Why is it stopping Wednesday? Haven't we got enough good old stuff to take us to the end of the week?
Nah, 3 days is enough.
Okay.
You know, then we've got to give the Hawaiian shirts back. Because we'll be doing the show in Hawaiian shirts. I told you that, didn't I?
And we encourage everybody at home to listen in the Hawaiian shirts as well.
And I'll be doing my bits from a hammock with a drink in my hand that has one of those bendy straws. That's what I mean when I say summer edition.
It's going to be the bendiest show on radio for 3 days from Monday. But listen, I've got some news here that might interest you, Mickey. Disturbing news, in fact, from Rome. The Colosseum is shrinking, apparently.
Hey?
Why is this? Somebody forgot to read the washing instructions on the label? No. It seems it's slowly being chipped away by vandals and antique hunters, sometimes in chunks so large, a truck with a hoist has been used to drag pieces away. Archaeologists are furious, and they're demanding more police patrols to protect the centrepiece of Roman culture. Last week, thieves made off with a massive block of marble containing an ancient inscription of historical note. Now, what do you reckon? Is it vandals? Mm. Is it tourists? Or is it part of some elaborate scheme to steal the Colosseum bit by bit and reassemble it at another location? Perhaps, you know, will we see
footage on the news of Italian police raiding a small house in the suburbs and questioning a bloke about the vast ancient edifice that's appeared in his backyard. Oh, I don't know how it got there. Well, I'm just minding it for a friend. Maybe it's a country that doesn't have any tourist attractions of its own who is, you know, going to whack up the Colosseum and, go, you know, check it out. Invite people over on the strength of the reassembled Colosseum.
Could be right.
You know, these are all nutty ideas. But, of course, we know who's responsible, don't we, really? We've talked about this before on the show many times. Pest Australian blokes. Whenever a large public structure or object gets moved, goes missing, it's pissed Australian blokes. Somewhere in Rome, there's an Australian bloke living in a flat going, check it out, phone box. Me and Macca swiped that last Saturday night. Sign from the freeway turnoff. Took four of us to get that one back here. Wow, and what about that in the backyard? Oh, mate, I can't remember a thing, but geez, did I wake up with a sore back. Really want to be with you. That's Hootie Ably, supported as always by the Blowfish here on Martin Molloy, where it's time to have a bit of this.
Radio Gladiators, your chance to represent your state and win fame, glory, and fabulous prizes. Here's today's challenge.
Now, as you probably know, the Simpsons winds to a close tonight for 1995 with a big Who Shot Mr. Burns kind of finale.
Yep.
So I thought that was as good an excuse as any to hear some Simpsons impressions.
Oh, goody. I love these.
On Gladiators, because we always tracked a very high calibre of contestant when we do the Simpsons impressions. And we're not looking, as always, we're not looking for the Simpsons themselves. We're not looking for Homer, for Bart, for Maggie, for Lisa, for Marge. We're looking for some of the more obscure characters.
Yes.
Some of the more unusual characters.
Casting a wider net.
We'll accept a Flanders. We'll accept a Principal Skinner. We'll accept a... Well, we probably won't accept Barney. There's always a fair bit of Barney.
Damn, I was going to do Barney.
I'm sick of having to pick up the phone when we're taking the calls and then just, you know, squeegee out the earpiece afterwards.
Wow, a peanut!
See, now we've got the Barney out of our system. Let's put it behind us. And I don't know, have you got any specialities? What's your specialty?
No, I've got nothing. Outside of the Simpsons themselves, so I'm out of the competition.
You can do a Krusty, surely. Anyone can.
Welcome to the Zipper Club. I'm gonna take a bath on this.
You know, anyone can muster up a bit of a Krusty.
Mo, can you do a Mo?
Oh no, I can't even. No, can't picture Bart.
No,
that'll hurt. No. If you complete that one, you'll hurt
yourself. I need some honey. That's what most of the good DJs do, don't they? They take honey.
Yeah, there's a bloke who used to work around here. Wouldn't even say hello to you without pouring a half a tub of honey down his throat
just to answer the phone.
Where's he now? He's living in a hive somewhere. But enough in-joke reminiscent, because we're talking Simpsons impressions.
You know, you've got a couple. You're a man of a thousand voices, Tony.
Well, just a bird. You know, a bit of... More my impressions seem to involve just...
Can you do Waylon?
Yes, one of your minions, sir.
Yes. When I liked it when Mr. Burns was, you know, he was a beekeeper. Well, we're talking honey for some reason. Remember Mr. Burns had a period where he was just a beekeeper?
Yep.
He was menacing the bees. He was just, fools! Look at them gathering honey for their families! See, anyone can get a bit of
and,
a Burns.
Well, we're still on the bees. What did Grandpa Simpson have to say about, wasn't there something about a beard of bees?
It was somebody at the old folks' home, I think.
That's right.
I'm not really sure here, but somebody at one point said, I wore a beard of bees for that woman. And there was a photo of a guy wearing a beard of bees.
It's a beauty. Maybe we can ring someone in Japan and ask about that later.
And, of course, then there's the Mexican bee on The Simpsons.
Oh, they're trouble.
But I tell you what, are we going on too long, Gracie? Got the message. Now, listen, there's an X-Files, unanswered X-File video here with your name on it if you win. And then, of course, you're in the draw for the X-Files jacket signed by the actors who play Mulder and Scully. That's being drawn on
spooky
Friday.
As.
And, of course, I've just noticed the X-Files, they've got the spooky cliffhanger in.
Yep.
Then you've got Who Shot Mr. Burns. I think Melrose Place had a big cliffhanger.
Frightening.
We're finishing up Friday. Are we planning a cliffhanger? Is there going to be an explosion at the end of the program?
No. We'll be leading up to, like, a fart joke or something.
Yeah.
And just before the payoff, It'll be to be continued.
Oh, that'll keep them guessing. And because maybe we should announce at the first show next year that this whole year was a dream.
Oh, that'd be nice.
Like Dallas did. That'd certainly get us out of a lot of legal trouble. Mm. But call us with your Simpsons impressions now, 1-800-657-657. That's Chris Isaak. Somebody's crying here on Martin Molloy, as is so often the case. It's Radio Gladiators, and today it's the final episode of The Simpsons for the year. So tonight, so we thought, let's hear some Simpsons impressions, because we love them so much. Who have we got on the line, Mickey?
We've got Milton on the line. G'day, Milt.
G'day.
How are you?
Fine, thanks. How are you?
Not too bad. Now, who have you been working up for us?
I've been working on Mayor Quimby, actually.
Oh, yes. All right, well, just let it rip for us, eh?
Okay, I'm a bit nervous, so it might not sound as good.
Hey, it's all right. You heard ours.
All right. And thank you, you took Springfield, for your homemade lemonade. Oh, wait a minute. This smells like urine.
Okay, well, yes, that's I can detect Mayor Quimby's tones
that
in there.
That was chockers with Quimbyisms, that one.
And he's usually declaring a day, isn't he, Mayor Quimby?
I declare Marge Simpson Day.
Or didn't he declare Snow Day?
Yes.
And he reads the crowd too. If the crowd turns, he's out of there.
Okay, well, thanks for a bit of Quimby there, Milton.
That's a good start.
That is a good start, but let's hear what Ben's got to offer. Ben, who are you doing?
I'm doing Groundskeeper Willie.
Oh, yes, Groundskeeper Willie. We love him. Let's hear a bit of Willie.
There is no such thing as Scotchtoberfest. You use me, Skinner.
Oh, yes. You don't want to get on the wrong side of Groundskeeper Willie. That's not bad, Ben. How old are you?
12.
All right. And is there a Groundskeeper Willie at your school?
No.
Is there a Principal Skinner?
Oh, not really.
Yeah, well, keep attacking your principal with phrases just like that, Ben.
Yeah, okay.
You'll be doing us all proud.
Now, I believe next up we've got another groundskeeper, Willie. Are you there, James?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. It is Scottish week, so we're allowing a couple of Willies through the net today. And let's hear it.
Go easy on the wee one. His father's make you crazy. It took them all into haggis.
Very nice.
Oh, everyone's Scottishing up today, aren't they?
And I'm sure, you know, I feel like going into a bit of Scottish just myself for no reason. Now, I'm sure all across the nation people are just going willy mad.
When I feel like going into Paul McCartney, it ends up Scottish.
Yeah.
So, you know, I might do Paul McCartney later. Groundskeeper McCartney.
Well, there's a treat for you in store, listeners. Now, what about Aaron? Aaron, are you with us?
Yep.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to do Ralph.
Oh, right, the kid who often has a bit of a paste brush in his mouth while he's talking. Okay, let's hear that.
My cat's breath smells like cat food.
Well, it's definitely Ralph. That wasn't one of the catchphrases that ended up on a T-shirt, that one.
No.
Didn't
we'll work on it. Good on you, Aaron. Thanks for bringing that to our attention.
Robert!
Yeah.
Hello.
Who are you doing for us?
I'd like to do actor Troy McClure.
Oh, actor Troy McClure, who's got a terrific list of credits, including Calling All Quakers, was one of my favourite efforts from Mr. McClure. Let's hear it.
Hi, I'm actor Troy McClure. You might remember me from such educational films as Lead Paint, Delicious But Deadly.
And I think it was it Alice Through the Windscreen Glass? I think it was his other safety film. Okay, have you got any more Troy for us, Robert, or is that as far as the impression goes?
Well, I'm just trying to think. But I think it is. I can bring up a few others if you want, but I think that's about as far as Troy McClure goes.
Well, you've given us a tantalising taste of Troy.
Did Troy take the exhibition through the Duff Breweries? Was he involved in that at all?
Oh, I'm sure he did a promotional film for them
one
point.
He would have.
Finally, we've got Connell. Connell, who are you doing?
I'm the guy who works in Gulp and Blow.
Oh, right. The Gulp and Blow. Is the Gulp and Blow like a... What was that exactly? A seven...
They sell tacos. Homer once worked there.
Gotcha. That's
right.
Yes,
he did.
Okay, now, let's hear a bit of that.
Here's your taco, sir. Oops, I dropped it in the fire. Don't worry, I'll get it. Ow! 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 Well, here it is. I don't want it anymore. This comes out of my salary. If I had a girlfriend, she'd kill me.
Connell, I get the feeling that if I hadn't stepped in now, you'd be doing the whole episode. Is that our winner today?
I think it could be.
Yes!
Pretty bloody obscure. We fitted the criterion. Nicely done, Connell.
The Ken from the Gulp and Blow has scored you the unanswered X-File, Connell.
Yes.
And woo-hoo. You've also gone into the draw for the X-Files jackets.
Mm.
Yes, exactly.
I like doing that.
Mm. Well, that'll be drawn this Friday. And thanks for taking part, Connell. Thanks for taking part, everybody. It always brings out the best in the listeners, the
absolutely.
Simpsons impressions, I find. But stick around because after the news, we're going to be joined by one of our favourites here at Martin Malloy, Wendy Harmer. And in this hour of Martin Malloy, another brown event, another very wedgy Christmas. But next up, Wendy Harmer, all thanks to Telstra Mobile Net Digital. No, as far as I can tell, that doesn't sound like anybody from The Simpsons. So no X-Files pack for you. Cranberries here on Martin Malloy. That was Dreams. And it's the second hour, so it's time to welcome somebody who, well, when she's not parked in the studios of Sydney's 2Day FM slaving over a hot program, she's sitting at home punching out literature. Yes, it's Wendy Harmer.
Thank you.
Can you hear us, Wendy?
Thank you. I certainly can. Hello.
Now, I mentioned literature. What have you done? What's this book?
Well, I have to say it is a shame. You know the Brown album?
Yeah, we've heard of it.
Well, I think that's really just set a new standard in cheap marketing exercises, so I thought I'd have to follow on. This is my book, Love Gone Wrong. It was out a while ago and it was sold out, and, you know, due to popular demand, unlike the Brown album, due to popular demand, it's been reprinted and it's in the stores now, so I'm very pleased. It's the softback. It's got... Oh, I was going to say, it's got some new jokes. It's got some reviews on the back of it, and it's a new photo too. How about that?
Right, so if you've already got the hardback, you can buy the paperback just to enjoy the crits on the back. Is that what you suggest?
That's what I'm suggesting.
Okay, and what is, for those who might not have caught it in the hardback, what is Love Gone Wrong?
Well, it's a little tome that I penned a few years ago when I was brokenhearted, and I realised there was not really anything for people who were brokenhearted except those dreadful I'm okay, you're okay.
Who sort broke of, you know, your heart. What's the cad's name? Was it one? How many?
It's fine.
Give us names.
Now. It's fine. He came to my wedding. It's perfectly fine.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, it wasn't a kind of a Melrose thing at all. It was just a nice, friendly... No, we're all fine now. But this is a very, very bitter and twisted excerpt from my life. I actually read it now and think, Jesus, did I actually think that stuff? It's about how to wreak revenge, how to get better. And here is the clincher, guys. It's actually been recommended by the Australian Psychiatrist Association as like a way to get better.
Right, so, you know, chances are people going in to see the psychiatrist and he just dumps a bit of Wendy Harmer on them and walks out. Is that how it works?
That's it. Exactly how it works.
So you're unloading this book on wackos. You've targeted that market.
Well, I figure what it is, you know, when people bust up around you and, you know, they come over and say, you know, and then he did this and then, you know, and then, and you think, oh, Jesus, you know, the Simpsons are on when you bog off. You can give them this book.
And can you give us an example of the kind of thinking and kind of thoughts that are contained in this volume?
Yes, well, I did actually collect a whole lot of revenges that people had wreaked on each other. And one of my favourites was this chap who said that he had heard this thing where you could fill a water pistol with battery acid. Mm. This is a great one. This is for all the listeners. And what you can do is, apparently, you can write a message on the drapes or in the carpet, and it's not going to show up for a couple of weeks.
Is that right?
And she's going to be sitting up in bed with the new bloke, and a message is going to appear magically in the drapes in front of her, like, you tart, or whatever you want. You know, I thought that was a pretty good tip for the brokenhearted.
Slow down, Wendy. I'm writing this down.
So, like, they're sitting in bed, and suddenly a message comes up and might say something like, if you timed it right, it might say, he stole that move off somebody else. You know, you can actually nut it. This is actually a whole new area. This is fascinating.
It tells you, you know, I mean, you should forgive and forget. You should ring the happy couple and tell them how pleased you are for them. 4 a.m, 10-minute intervals, couple of months, should see it out nicely. It really just says, when you're brokenhearted, just give into it, let go, you know, put on weight, take up a nasty habit. You know, if you haven't smoked for years, do that. Forget to pay the rent, crash the car. You know, that's the way to go.
There are no rules.
That's exactly right. And I've got a whole lot of phone calls in here. You know, when you have a breakup and everyone rings in and the phone runs hot with everybody. Well, this is, I thought you might, boys might appreciate this. This is when phone call number 82, when your best mate rings you up, okay? Right. This is a bloke's one. Yeah, g'day, mate. Yeah, I heard the bad news. The first thing I thought was it's almost exactly the same as what happened to me and Tracy. Just out of the blue, mate, completely unexpected. One minute she was there and the next minute thin air. No explanation. Yeah, well, you would feel shit-ass, mate, if it's anywhere near as bad as what happened to me and Tracy. Yeah, well, that's exactly what Tracy did to me, mate. And I said to her, you can't walk out without talking about it. She reckons I never listened to her, but that's not true. Yeah, well, that's what Tracy did to me, too. See, the thing with us was, I didn't realise that Tracy... Yeah, well, okay, matey, if you have to go, yeah. Well, no worries, any time I can help you sort out your problems, give us a call. That's what friends are for, mate. You see, when me and Tracy broke up...
Hey, Wendy, you've been tapping my phone.
Now, Wendy, of course, people might not realise you're actually happily married now.
Yes, I am.
I'd be imagining your husband to be watching himself because he wouldn't want to sharpen volume two, would he?
So can we expect a Love Gone Right
book
anytime?
There's no fun in it, really, is there? who wants to read that sort of rubbish? Oh, you know, everything's marvelous. You know those awful books where it's, love means one, 101 romantic things to do, greet him in, cling wrap covered in peanut butter with a rose. You know, no one wants to read that stuff, do they? They want to read how to smash his stuff up when you leave and, how to get the best out of the removal van deal and all. That's what they want to read. That's what this book's about.
And that's where you step in.
That's pretty much where I step in.
Okay, Wendy, well, we want to talk more Love Gone Wrong with you because we want to talk about that Big Princess Di interview.
Oh, well, I've sent her a copy.
Okay.
I've seen there several. Now, should I say where you can buy it and all that?
Oh, yeah, please.
It's out by Pan and it's in all good bookstores.
Okay.
It'd be a great Chrissy present too, wouldn't it?
I imagine it would just fit in nicely with the old Brown album tucked in the back.
Good on you, Wendy. Now, let's enough of this sickening plugging for our own stuff. We'll talk about Lady Di in just a moment.
Every bloke I know says Lady Di. You haven't been paying attention for the last 15 years. It's Diana Princess of Wales, okay?
She get married.
Oh, blimey.
Well, let's go into it in more detail next on Martin Molloy. Well, let's groove that CDB here on Martin Molloy, where Wendy Harm has joined us on the panel. Wendy, this whole, is it Princess Di? Have I got that right?
Yes, Diana Princess of Wales, to be really accurate, but yes, go on.
Give us your thoughts on the whole bizzo.
Well, I think... scary, really, is the thought. I'm just wondering whether this is going to spread to the rest of the royal family, this kind of therapy, new agey kind of thing,
Getting it out and open on the telly.
I wonder whether the Queen's going to start running, like, goddess workshops in Windsor Castle and, the Eugenie and Beatrice are going to be done up in something from the fairy shop.
Prince Edward would be there.
That's it. Well, I imagine if you mentioned numerology to the Queen Mother, she'd be upstairs with a packet of woodbine faster than you could say, double trigger in the fourth and Epsom, I should think.
Faster than she could break another hip.
Well, I don't think you can do the Alexander technique with a busted hip. I think with a plastic hip, I should say. The scary thing is, guys, is the Princess Diana is actually going to spend Christmas. She's decided, I read this in the paper, to spend Christmas with the family at Sandringham this year. Now,
really?
If you thought it was scary, meeting up with your Auntie Jean from Dubbo on Christmas Day, how bad is Christmas Day going to be, really? I mean, I guess who's going to be getting her a Christmas lunch at the card table and her presents wrapped in a road map of Scotland?
And all the breakables will be moved out.
Well, that's the thing I was thinking. You have to worry in case the Queen does a Christmas message from home this year. I've had a bit of a think about it. I think this is what it might sound like.
My loyal subjects, of course, festive season is traditionally a time when families and loved ones come together to celebrate togetherness and to find the true meaning of Christmas. My husband and I most sincerely wish that happiness and peace will find a place in every heart. Hang on a minute, would you?
Charles, put down that sword this very instant!
Put Charles down!
I don't care if he started it! God, stop the whole world!
Hell.
I've already been on television, I did that! You can't put
Yes, I think that's, you think that's how it might go.
Very nice win, and good to see you getting into the impressions. Can you do anyone from The Simpsons for us?
No, the only person I can do, and I'm told with quite good effect, now it's going to be a worry, I can do Deborah Hutton from Looking Good.
Yes, please.
Hi, it's Deborah Hutton from Looking Good. It's great to have you along today. You remember last week when we talked you down the shoe shop and we showed you how to choose a pair of shoes? Well, today we're going to tell you how to get them out of the confounded box when you get them home.
Oh, thank you. Hey, Wendy, is that from Looking Good?
Yeah, oh, thanks.
I don't watch it myself, but I saw a promo for it. I saw a promo for it the other day, and it had a picture. They had shots of Senator Graham Richardson lying on his back in a gym pumping weights, and then they cut to a logo saying "Looking Good." I'm going, "Hello, have I missed a meeting? What's going on? Is that what I've got to shoot for?"
And that's the thing is, he went off to the Golden Door Resort, and they had the before and the after shot, and guess what? Nothing had changed. He looked exactly the same. Yes. But speaking of Looking Good, here's another little bit of a snippet of a royal scuttlebutt. Do you know that Gianni Versace, the giant designs of frocks, has designed a new handbag called, he hasn't been paying attention either, called the Lady Di.
Right.
Now, he's made it for her specially after she'd been photographed wearing his $10,000 evening frocks, right? And he's not. So everyone can buy a Lady Di handbag. Yeah, I just want you to think about what might be in that bag. Mm. You've got your nice little Prozac pouch there, I suppose, mobile phone holder, a lemon slicer in case you want to slash yourself about the wrists and arms. I mean, if she was going to do the job, a lemon slicer, was she planning to peel herself to death? And then, of course, the best thing of all is completely washable in case you get caught short the visual function you have to throw up in it.
Yes, I was going to say, if you're actually on a Qantas flight, just look in the pouch in front of you and you'll find a Lady Di handbag behind every seat. Now, thanks for coming in and classing up the program today, Wendy.
Not a problem.
And we'll just mention the book again. It's Love Gone Wrong.
That's it.
And it's in the shops now. And does it constitute a top read?
I'll constitute a top read, certainly. That accent of yours becomes broader by the minute.
Well, I am from New Zealand, so, you know.
Is that what it is? You've finally strined up.
I took a course. When I stepped off the plane a few years ago, they said, "Well, you're not talking like that in Australia." I'm going, "What, you don't want a biscuit with a thin bit of mint filling? That's no good to you." So, you know, I've been to the workshops.
It's sounding great. It's as big as the big outdoors, as big as this big wide brown land of ours, time.
I'll be accepted as a true Australian, that's my aim.
That's it.
Now, thanks for coming in today, and you should be, you've got to go off and write some gags for tomorrow, don't you, Wynn?
Fat chance at this stage. Go to the pub.
Good on you.
Alrighty then.
Well, there's tomorrow's 7:20 a.m. spot written. So, thanks for talking to us.
My great pleasure.
And we'll be back with more in a moment on Martin Molloy. Brass in pocket, that's the Pretenders here on Martin Molloy. And Mick, Winnie Harmer was mentioning something of interest to me, and that's the Queen's Christmas message. Did you hear that when that whole business with the Lady Di interview or the Princess Di interview blew up?
On the BBC.
The Queen threatened to pull the Christmas message.
It's like, oh, no, no. We'll be good.
And she threatened to go somewhere else. Would there be a bidding war for the Queen's Christmas message?
I thought Sky Channel put in a bid. They're going to sandwich it in between nude volleyball and the trots, I think.
I think they wanted, like, Anna Nicole Smith to deliver the message. The Queen could still write it, but it'd be done by her.
The Queen's message, as rendered by Miss January.
Well, that's good ideas, and that's what this program's all about. Mm. Here's another example.
It's time for the Brown Event.
We'll give it our best shot, Pete Smith. Now, every now and then on the program, we like to do a salute to Elvis. There's no real reason for it. It's just really...
He's the king.
Yeah, he's the king, and he's been very good to comedy over the years.
We're talking queen. Now we're talking king.
Fair enough. Well, today, it's a king-related challenge. Mm. We want you to phone us up and karaoke style perform Blue Suede Shoes, but...
Here's the rub.
You got to change it to brown suede shoes. It's just that simple.
Can I enter?
Well, okay. if we don't get any callers, because it's a tough challenge.
It'll be me again.
You'll have to.
I'm in the jumpsuit anyway.
But more important than the jumpsuit is you're going to need a pen and paper. And by way of pen and paper music today, we've got a bit of Elvis doing Blue Suede Shoes.
It's one for the money, two for the show, three to get it ready. Now go, cat, go, but don't
There you go. That's the kind of performance we're expecting from you. Don't bother to call up if you can't muster up a king.
Yep. You gotta make it sound like you've got a bucket of chicken under one arm, and you got those velvety tones we associate with a king.
And it's not just limited to the blokes. We'll accept a female Elvis if we have to, just as long as it's got the feel of the king. That's all we're chasing, really.
That's Katie Lang, isn't it? The female Elvis?
I think so.
Katie Lang, call now.
And if you are listening, Katie, we'd be happy to hear from you. We'd be happy to hear from anybody who can give us a bit of Blue Suede Shoes reinterpreted as Brown Suede Shoes. Call now, 1-800-657-657. Welcome back to Martin Malloy. It's the Brown event, and today we've got the drapes up. We've turned the studio into the Vegas Lounge as we attempt another karaoke challenge. Are you there, Daniel?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, now you pulled over to the side of the road?
No, I'm in a video shop.
Oh, you're in a video shop. So you've pulled the video shop over to the side of the road. Good on you now.
Exactly.
We're talking Elvis. We're talking the king. What kind of preparation have you done for this performance? Just paint the picture for us.
I've gone, moo, 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 moo. That seems to help.
Yeah, that's a good start. Are you wearing the sideies?
Yeah, they're all on, yep. And I've got my brown suede shoes on too.
Right, now all we're chasing is brown suede shoes. It's blue suede shoes, but wherever your natural inclination is to say blue, you change it to brown. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, fire it up. Show band.
1, 2, 3.
4 for the morning, 2 for the show. 3 to get ready, now go, can't go, now don't you step my brown suede shoes. Well, you can do anything but lay off my brown suede shoes on it. Well, you can knock me down, step my face, slant my name all over the place. You can do anything that you want to do, but I'm going to lay off my shoes. Now don't do it, step on my blue suede shoes.
Brown!
Brown! You can do anything but lay off my brown suede shoes.
Brown, brown, brown suede shoes
on it.
Now, Elvis aficionado Mick Malloy has been at the points scoreboard, and what are you going to award that performance?
I'd have to give that the maximum score. And I'm presuming you were doing a rendering of the later Elvis rather than the early Elvis.
The later one, yeah.
Yeah, it was later. Well, you get the double maximum score.
Fantastic! I love you, Mick Malloy!
Yeah, wait in the queue, buddy. Okay, Daniel, listen to this. You've got the Brown album.
I love you! I love you, people.
Wait till you have a listen to it first, because we've got to warn you, it's pretty darn brown. And you've also got the prestigious 4-pack of CDs, which features Blessed Union of Souls, and I think a bit of Tom Cochrane in there. It's a pretty darn impressive collection.
I have to say, that's gorgeous.
And you've also gone into the draw for the trip for two to Noumea. Sorry, we didn't get that. What was that again?
I said, there you go.
Ah, sure.
Can you do a Simpsons impression for us?
That's the
Nelson.
That's about as far as it goes.
That's okay. Fantastic, but I'm afraid the prize cupboard is empty, so you'll have to go home with the brown, the 4-pack, and the possibility of a trip to Noumea being drawn this Friday.
Fantastic.
Okay, thanks, Daniel.
Thanks for that.
And we'll be back tomorrow. Have we got any more brown left in us, Mickey?
Oh, we might have. Hey, Daniel,
yeah?
what do you got any Elvis videos in the shop there?
We've got a stack of them.
Yeah?
They're all over the joint.
Do you know any?
I can help you out. Hang on, I'll just check on my computer.
Oh, this could be good.
Don't take a moment.
Read out a few titles to us, but see if you can get brown in there.
The Elvis Collection, The Flaming Brown Star, The King of Brown and Roll, and Elvis, The Lost Brown Performance.
Cool, gee.
And
like
there's
to
one
see
called
that.
Brown, Brown, Brown.
Yeah, of course there is. Viva Lost Brown, is that in there?
It's here. I'll put it aside for you if you like.
Okay, well, we could brown on all night. But thanks for playing today, Daniel.
Thanks,
Brown
buddy.
Bank.
And we'll be back with another brown event tomorrow on Martin Malloy. Troop with Apple Eyes here on Martin Malloy, and a big thank you too to Daniel there doing a bit of Elvis for us on the brown event.
We missed Brown Hawaii.
Oh, did we? Well, that's an oversight.
We've corrected.
There'll be questions asked after the program. Mm. And isn't that great how we just said, you know, what film? And he's gone onto the computer there straight away, told us what's on the stock at the video shop.
Have we got his number? Because he'll be getting a call from us from time time to time, I reckon.
That's not how it works at my video shop. You know, I'll be down there going, and you'll ask for some really big new release. You'll just be going, have you got True Lies? And it'll be, oh, click, 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 click.
Mm.
And it'll be, we've got Cannonball Run. Is that of any help, you know?
Yeah, my video shop, the usual response to a new request is usually just...
Yeah, dream about it, Malloy, but we've got 800 copies of Striking Distance with reduced to $2.99 written on them.
In fact, there's a Gladiators we must do. Is tell us the video that's got the most copies on the shelf of your video shop. Oh, that'll keep us entertained.
It will.
A couple of those Beethoven films that have to feature, wouldn't they?
But, hey, we don't want to use up all the good ideas this year. We've got to have something to come back with in 96.
Oh, what? So that's the sum total of everything we've got for 96 at the moment. One Gladiator's based around a video shop.
Well, I'll tell you what, enough of us. Let's hear from one of our sponsors. Are you tired of paying exorbitant bank fees? Fed up with monthly statements exhibiting a swag of previously unmentioned charges that leave sweet diddly in your account? Then you must be with the Bank of Martin Malloy. Since 1892, the Bank of Martin Malloy have been bleeding their customers dry with a sophisticated range of fees and charges that are tailored to suit our needs. If you're sick of waiting in lengthy queues because your bank doesn't provide an adequate service, spare a thought for our customers who have to stand there for hours scratching themselves while a team of surgeons work round the clock inserting much-needed firecrackers up the arse of our woefully trained staff. At the Bank of Martin Malloy, you won't encounter any rude next teller please signs, but you may be confronted by the even ruder blow it out your ass sign. Apply for one of our staggering home loans that will financially cripple any prospective buyer who qualifies for a humiliating interview with our loans officers. Go on, we dare you.
hang on, just tell us again, how much did you want to buy?
$30,000.
Oh, yes, Master. Shall we run and get it now? Oh, yes, please do. Let's not keep Mr. I'd Like $30,000 waiting. Is there anything else we could do? Perhaps you'd like us to come round to your house on weekends and fluff your pillows.
Oh, I'm going home.
No, wait, please. Let me lay my jacket down before thee to facilitate a safe passage from this humble office. Godspeed, mon frere. Don't get too comfy. We'll be selling that house in about a month, you sucker.
Sure, other banks may have more ATMs all over town, but only the Bank of Martin Malloy's are located in places of extreme danger, especially when used after dark.
Right, give us all your money.
I can't. The bank's already taken it.
Then give us your jacket and your runners. Come on, buddy.
Hey, I recognise you. You're my bank manager. Hey, help us.
So come and see us at the Bank of Martin Malloy, where we like to say, forget the bloke in the balaclava, it's the guy behind the counter you've got to keep your eye on.
That's Eurythmics winding up another round of Martin Malloy with Love as a Stranger. And just before we go, Mickey, I know you're on for a drink.
Mm.
You're like a drop. And here's good news, because Paul Mercurio has been brewing up something big in Adelaide for 6 weeks. His new beer has been just fermenting to perfection. I didn't know this, but apparently Paul Mercurio is something of a beer buff. Yes, no, this is true. His love of home brew dates from when, as a poor dancer, he couldn't afford Coopers after his shows. He likes the Coopers, so he's got together head-to-head with the Coopers people, and he's brewing up the Mercurio Coopers beer.
You can get it puncing about.
You can, because that's just what you'd need after a hard day of, you know, choreographing dance numbers for punts like Graham Murphy and his dance company, isn't it?
You just want to come home and knock the top off a couple of Mercurios.
But can you see yourself walking into a bar in anywhere in Australia and just saying, Burgermeister, assuming you're in Germany, sling us a couple of Mercurios. It doesn't really...
couple of cold Mercurios. Oh, it doesn't work for me. I had a
couple of cold Mercurios. I think that's his last two films, quite frankly.
Well, yeah.
Have you got any more Mercurios?
No, I'm out.
Okay. You know, I get the feeling we could talk Mercurio beer
for the rest of the evening.
I imagine we will.
And, of course, it's all going to charity, so it's all for a good cause. On your pull. But let me say this. We must thank our guests, Wendy Harmer, Mr. Kono, down there at the Japanese Embassy. He'll be just winding up the day with a couple of cold Mercurios now. All our gladiators and, of course, Big Dan Presley down at the video shop. We'll be back tomorrow with John Clark. But until then, remember, if you can't say something intelligent, come talk to us.